بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 53rd session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab, رحمهم الله. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. This evening we're going to be looking at hadith number 47, which is from those hadith which were added to the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. Before we look at the hadith for tonight, we want to just do a quick review of some of the issues that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 52. First question being, summarize the main subject of hadith number 46. What was the main subject of last week's hadith? Naam. Intoxicants are haram, are forbidden, no matter yani what name it is called, what form it came in, all of it is forbidden. Jazakallah khair. Anybody else? The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith last week, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of the hadith, Abdul Wali. Abu Burda, yani who heard this hadith from his father Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. Jazakallahu khair. And the collection where this hadith is found?
Bukhari.
Yani the hadith is collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari. Question number 3. What are the two nabiz drinks which the companion yani asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about from the drinks that were present in Yemen? What are those two drinks? Naam.
Al-Bitaru.
Naam. Al-Mizru. Al-Mizru. What is Al-Bitaru? Somebody else? Yani, it's a drink that's made from putting honey in water and leaving it for some time until the water acquires the sweet taste of the honey. Now, and al-mizru, it's a drink that's made from barley in a similar fashion. Question number 4. Memorize the three words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which make up the comprehensive qaida or principle in this hadith. Three words. Now,
kullu
muskir haram, meaning
everything that intoxicates
is haram. Question number 5. What is the one thing upon which the tahrim, the prohibition in this hadith, is dependent or conditional? What is the thing that this prohibition in this hadith is based upon? Naam. Fadl. Intoxication. Yani iskar. That if something intoxicates, whatever it might be, then it is considered to be yani haram. Yani the ruling of tahrim is based upon that thing being an intoxicant, that it intoxicates. Now, so whatever intoxicates is haram, and if it doesn't, then it's not haram. Yani it's halal, unless there's some other reason for it to be prohibited. Question number 6. Give some of the author's examples of various things included in the statement, everything that intoxicates is haram. Now, okay, that the author, how he described it. Now, this would include marijuana and cocaine and all those other things. But he said, yani, if it was
a drink,
yeah,
or a food,
if it was a drink, or if it was a food, it doesn't matter, it's haram. If it was something that was liquid or solid, doesn't matter. If it intoxicates, it's haram. If it's a powder, if it's a leaf, whatever form it came in, if it intoxicates, then it is forbidden. Question number 7, mention the author's definition of al-khamr. The author's definition of al-khamr. Simple definition, few words, now. Anybody? Okay, anything that causes the person from thinking clearly, affects the judgment, and affects the mind, the aql, whatever clouds, covers the mind and affects it from thinking clearly, then this is yani considered to be al-khamr. And so khamr is not just wine or liquor, but whatever yani affects the mind in that kind of way, then it is khamr. Question number 8, mention another hadith which contains a comprehensive qa'idah or principle in this matter of intoxicants. Another hadith that the Shaykh mentions, which is also comprehensive, yani qa'idah or principle concerning intoxicants. Naam. Wali? Abdul Wali?
Hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah.
Radiallahu anhuma. Naam. Who knows the meaning, words of that hadith? Meaning of it now. Naam. Whatever intoxicates, if a person consumes a large amount of it, then even a small amount is also prohibited. And the last question mentioned, 3 fawaid, or the 3 fawaid, benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 3 benefits that he mentioned. First of them, now.
The eagerness of the companions to know the Sharia, with, you know, the laws, which is what is allowed and what is allowed.
The eagerness of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their diligence and their desire, their great desire to know the legal rulings, al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, so that they would know any what's lawful and what's not, and so on, so that they can worship Allah in a way that's pleasing to Him. Second point that the Shaykh mentions. Second point. Naam, Talib.
Indication of the perfection of the law of Sharia.
Naam.
We are given a qaida that covers everything.
Yani, this hadith also is an indication of the perfection, kamal, yani the perfection of the Sharia of Allah, and that it includes yani principles that are all inclusive, that are general, covering many different matters as it came in this hadith. Yani that everything that intoxicates is haram. The third thing that he mentions, third benefit that he mentioned from this hadith is now.
Everything that intoxicates is haram.
The core meaning of the hadith, that everything that intoxicates is haram, no matter what form it came in. So there was one more benefit that we mentioned. It wasn't from the Shaykh, but it was from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Dahish. He also mentioned a point that I thought was important. I mentioned it at the end, and that is, naam. I see your hand, yes.
The rulings revolve around the cause they establish, it goes and comes. So if one of them is present.
Naam, if it is present, then the ruling is established, and if it is not present, then the ruling is not established. Yani, al-hukm yaduru ma'a illatihi. Al-hukm yaduru ma'a illatihi. Wujudan wa adaman. Yani, that the ruling revolves around, is based upon, is connected to the illa, or the sabab, the cause for that ruling. Yani, wujudan wa adaman. If that illa, if that sabab is present, the ruling is established. And if that sabab, if that cause or that reason is absent, then the ruling, yani, is absent as well. Now, okay, so these are some of the things that we covered last week. And tonight, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we will look at the next hadith from those additional hadith that were added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. And this is hadith number 47. Al-hadithu السابع والأربعون عن المقدام ابن معد كرب رضي الله عنه. يعني this hadith is narrated from المقدام ابن معد كرب. And even though we'll talk about his name inshallah when we come to the explanation. يعني may Allah be pleased with him. He said سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. And he mentions this hadith, which is one of those very, very important hadith, and it's from those hadith that I consider to be a challenge. Yani those hadith that's going to be a challenge for the person who believes in Allah and loves this deen and follows the Prophet ﷺ, it is incumbent upon us to apply yani what came to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah, even though sometimes we might find some difficulty in it. And he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah ﷺ saying, and he made three statements. مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌّ وِعَانٌ شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنٍ يعني no human being, from all the human beings, there's no human being who has filled a vessel or a container that is more evil to be filled than the stomach. يعني there's nothing that a human being can fill that is worse than the filling of one's stomach. This is a warning from the Prophet ﷺ of the danger, the magnitude of the harm and the danger of a person overeating. He said, بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمْ أَكَلَاتٌ. And in some of the books, the wording is أُقُلَاتٌ. Yani with Dhamma instead of Fatha. And I'm reading from the Mutun طالب العلم from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Qasim, and his wording of these hadith are checked by many handwritten manuscripts to see what is the most correct wording, and Allah knows best. He has vowed it akalatum, akalatun, and some of the books have it uqulatun. And in any case, yani the meaning is going to be the same whichever voweling it comes with. He said, bihasbi ibni adam akalatun yuqimna sulbahu. This is the second statement, that it is sufficient for a human being that he eats a few mouthfuls or morsels of food that will keep his back straight. Yani, that will allow him to continue living. And then he said, the third statement, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَ. And if it was such that the person must eat more, that's not going to be enough for them, they're not going to be satisfied, they're not going to be content with just eating enough to stay alive, to keep themselves going. He said, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَةَ فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. Then he should, yani, divide up the space in his stomach, one third for his food, and one third for his drink, and one third for his breathing, so that he can breathe. رواه الإمام أحمد والترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجة وقال الترمذي حسن. When some of the books has حديث حسن, yani this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and the three Imams Al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah rahimahumullah in their Sunan. And Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi said the hadith is حسن, yani meaning that it is of a lesser level than the highest grade of authenticity, that is Sahih, but it is an acceptable and a good hadith that we can use as a proof and that we should apply in our lives and act upon. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as we have been for the past few sessions, we're going to read from the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. And because of the brevity of his commentary, we're going to also read from Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Dahish, also has a relatively brief commentary on this hadith. And tonight I'm going to try to read yani the three sentences of this hadith, three points of this hadith, one by one, with each of the commentaries. Yani the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, and along with it, the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Dahish. Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. So this hadith yani contains a very serious warning to the Muslim from overeating, from filling one's stomach with food and drink. And it is in general from the manners or the etiquettes, the adab that are legislated in Islam for a person when they are eating. And the Muslim, when he or she eats, has many etiquettes, yani adab, that we should follow from the Sunnah. And this is one of them. This is one of them. After the Shaykh mentions the hadith, the text of the hadith, And he divides his explanation into 4 points. The first point is the first sentence of the hadith, the warning. And the second point is the second sentence of the hadith, in which he advises the Muslim and how they should eat in terms of the amounts of food and drink one should take. And the third point is the third sentence of the hadith, yani, in which the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person felt unable to follow that instruction that he gave, the advice that he gave, on eating just the bare amount that is sufficient for a person to continue living, then he said, he gave a second advice, and that is that they should divide the space in their stomach into 3 parts, 1/3 for the food, 1/3 for the drink, and 1/3 for air, so that they can breathe. These are the 3 points, and the 4th point, the Shaykh mentions 4 benefits that are derived from this hadith. So, beginning with Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, first point he mentions, he says, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ملأ آدمي وعاء شرا من بطن, that no human being has filled up a vessel or a container that is more evil to be filled up than one's stomach. He says, الوعاء هو الظرف الذي يوضع فيه الشيء. يعني the وعاء, this word, it's a word, it means a vessel or a container that things are put into. وَشَرُّ وِعَاءٍ مُلِيَ هُوَ الْبَطْنِ, and the most evil container that a person would fill up is the filling up of the stomach. Then the Shaykh says, the reason why it is evil to fill up one's stomach, لِمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنَ التُخْمَةِ وَالتَّسَبُّبِ فِي حُصُولِ الْأَمْرَادِ وَلِمَا يُورِثُهُ مِنَ الْكَسَلِ وَالْفُطُورِ وَالْإِخْلَادِ إِلَى رَاحَتِ. Yani the reason why it is evil to fill one's stomach, he said, because of what it involves of sickness. The person feels sick from overeating. And also because this overeating is a cause that leads to other sicknesses, illnesses, and diseases. التسبب في حصول الأمراض, yani overeating causes a person to have many sicknesses. Then he said, وَلِمَا يُورِثُهُ, and also because it also causes الكسل, laziness, and الفطور, sluggishness, and الإخلاد إلى راحة, yani that a person becomes inclined to just rest, to become inactive. Overeating, yani causes a person to become lazy, and to become sluggish, and to not want to do anything. And this is extremely serious in the worldly life, and even more so in the religious life, when a person doesn't have the initiative or the energy or the drive to get up and worship Allah. Because of what? Because of overeating, causes oversleeping, and causes a person not to be able to do much of anything, especially the worship of Allah. As far as Shaykh Abdul Rahman Dahish, the first thing that he mentions after mentioning this hadith, he says the hadith is from Al-Miqdam Ibn Ma'di Karb. وَلَا تَقُولُ Ibn Ma'di Yakrib. It is not pronounced like this. Even though the correct reading of it, even though it's written with the ya attached to the second word, Yakrib, but it's pronounced Ma'di Karib, not Ma'di Yakrib. بدون نطق الياء وإن كانت كتابتها الياء يعني كتابتها مع الكلمة الثانية. After this he goes into the explanation of the hadith, and he says that this companion رضي الله عنه المقدام ابن معدي كرب, that he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, no human being fills any container that's more evil to be filled than the stomach. هكذا عمم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a statement that was general, very general, that is ما ملأ آدمي يعني من بني آدم, no human being at all, يعني including everybody, no human being, every human being, this is applicable to them. And he said, we are يعني a container that one fills in this world, any container, whatever it may be in this world that a person fills up, there's no container that a person fills that's worse than filling one's stomach. There's nothing worse than filling this one container and that one container is a person's stomach. He said, your stomach is a container. It's a vessel that you put in it what you eat and what you drink. So if you filled different kinds of containers, the most evil of the containers that you would have filled would have been to fill your stomach by putting in it that which will fill it up until it is completely full. Then the Shaykh says, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ تَحْذِيرٌ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَمْلَأَ الْإِنسَانَ بَطْنَهُ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ لِأَنَّ مَلَأَ الْبَطْنَ هَذَا لَهُ آثَارٌ وَلَهُ عَوَاقِبٌ وَقَدْ تَكُونُ وَخِيمَةٌ وَقَدْ تَكُونُ سَيِّئَةٌ. يعني he said that in this sentence, this first statement from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a warning from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from a person filling up their stomach with that which they eat. And that is because filling up the stomach has effects and it has consequences that may be evil, that may be fatal, that can be very dangerous. وَلِذَلِكَ يُقَالُ نِصْفُ الدَّوَاءِ فِي قِلَّةِ الطَّعَامِ. It is said that half of the cure is eating a little bit of food. Yani eating less food. قِلَّةِ الطَّعَامِ. It is the person who eats less, this is half of the cure. From the sicknesses that we are suffering from, half of the cure before taking these chemical medicines is that a person just eat less. And indeed, yani eating less for many people is a real challenge. Especially the gluttony that we find in the Western countries where people have plenty and almost everybody is overeating. Obesity is a major problem in America today. It's a real problem. The Shaykh, he says, the common people in the old days, they used to say, As-sihhatu fi atraf al-jur, amma al-bitna wa-shab' فَإِنَّهَا مَذِنَّةٌ لِلْأَمْرَادِ. يعني that good health is يعني in a person being close to being hungry. يعني meaning just eating enough so that you're not hungry. That good health is in doing that. And as far as overeating and filling one's stomach, he said this is the place that is where a person most likely will find يعني the cause of sicknesses. Overeating is the most likely place where a person will find the cause of sicknesses. The second statement in this hadith, in the Shaykh's, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin's second point, he says, قَوْلُهُ بِحَسْبِ إِبْنِ آدَمْ أَكَلَاتٌ وَأُقُلَاتٌ يُقِمْنَا صُلْبَهُ. Yani, that it is sufficient for a human being that they eat a small amount of food just to keep their back straight, upright. That is to keep them alive. وَالْمَعْنَى يَكْفِي إِبْنِ آدَمْ عَدَدٌ مِنْ أَكَلَاتِ الَّتِي تَحْصُلْ بِهَا حَيَاتَهُ. يعني that it is sufficient for the human being that they eat a number of small amounts of food which will allow them to continue living. وَهُوَ مَعْنَى قَوْلِهِ يُقِمْنَا صُلْبَهُ أَيْ ظَهْرَهُ. يعني keeping his يعني صلبة, it means his ظهر, keeping his back upright, keeping his back straight, meaning that he has sufficient, he eats that which is sufficient without going to the extreme, that which is sufficient to allow him to go on with life. The Shaykh says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ حَثٌ عَلَى التَّقْلِيلِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَعَدَمْ التَّوَسُّعْ فِيهِ. Yani in this statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that sufficient for the human being is that he or she eats a few mouthfuls, a few morsels of food that's sufficient for them to go on with life. He said, in this is an encouragement, على تقليل من الأكل, that a person eat a little bit of food, that they reduce the amount of intake of food. وعدم التوسع فيه, and that they do not increase and expand on the amount of food that they eat. And this is so that لِيَحْصُلَ لِلْإِنسَانِ الْخِفَّةِ وَالنَّشَاطِ وَالسَّلَامِ مِنَ التَّعَرُّضِ لِلْأَمْرَادِ وَالْأَسْكَامِ الَّتِي تَنْتَحِجْ عن كثرة الأكل. يعني that the reason or the benefit of a person reducing the amount of food intake is so that the human being can be light and not be walking around feeling heavy, and that they will be active, and that they will be safe from subjecting themselves to all types of sicknesses and illnesses and diseases that are the result of overeating. Shaykh Abdul Rahman, he says concerning this point that the Prophet ﷺ said it's sufficient for a human being to eat just a few morsels of food to keep their back upright, that is to keep them alive. He said, bihasbi, it means yakfi. It is sufficient that a person eats, yani akalat or ukulat. He said this is yani jam qilla or jam kathra, yani is it a plural? Yani that is the smaller number or a bigger number plural. He said it is qilla, the meaning of it, yani ukulat or akalat qalila. It means eating a little bit, a small amount of yani morsels or portions or mouthfuls of food. ماذا يستفيد من هذا? What do we benefit from this? He says, we benefit from this that a person will keep their back upright, and they will not blow up their stomach, and they will not increase the amount of fat that's in their body. Rather, their back will be upright, and they will be, yani, they will increase in their activity, and they will benefit from this. As far as the person who fills their stomach and increases the fat, he said, فَإِنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ مِمَّا يَلِيقُ بِالْمُسْلِمِ. This is not becoming of a Muslim. Rather, yani what is becoming of a Muslim? To suffice yourself with that which is yani the minimal amount that's necessary in order for a person to remain healthy, to be active, to be able to continue to do the things that they have to do. The third point and the third line of this hadith, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, he says, قوله فإن كان لا محالة فثلث لطعامه وثلث لشرابه وثلث لنفسه. That if a person just must يعني eat more, it will not be sufficient to just eat a small amount of food that would be sufficient for them to continue to function. If they can't work with that, he said, then there should be one third of the space in their stomach for their food, and one third for their drink, and one third for them to be able to breathe. والمعنى إذا لم يكتفي الإنسان بأكلات يقمن صلبه وكان لا محالة زائدا عن هذا المقدار فليكون مقدار ما يؤكل ويشرب في حدود ثلثي البطن ليبقى ثلث يمكن معه التنفس بسهولة. يعني the Shaykh, he says the meaning of this statement from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني the advice for the person who doesn't see that they are able to just eat the bare minimum. He said the meaning of this statement is that if a person will not suffice by eating a small amount of food to keep their life going, and they just must eat more than this amount, then the amount that is eaten and the amount that they drink should be within the limits of two-thirds of their stomach. Should be within the limits of two-thirds of their stomach. And the benefit of this, he said, لِيَبْقَى ثُلُثٌ يُمْكِنُ مَاهُ التَنَفُّسُ بِالسُّهُولَ. Yani, that one-third of space would be left in their stomach so that it would be possible for them to breathe easily. And knowing that, the Prophet ﷺ, yani the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ are actually guidance, that is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is actually something to think about. That a person who fills their stomach will have difficulty breathing. And how important is breathing? And then how important is it for a person then to control theirself, to have discipline, and to restrain themselves from overeating and over-drinking? On this point, before we go to the benefits from this hadith, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Dahish, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that if a person just must eat more, in kana musir wa indahu ragba jamiha fit tazawwud fil akl, yani if a person insists on eating more and they just have a strong desire, yani they have a defiant desire to increase the amount that they eat, then he said, then there should be 1/3, yani space in the stomach for the food, and 1/3 for the drink, and 1/3 for breathing. هَذِهِ الْغَايَةَ التي رَخَّصَ فِيهَا الشَّارِ, yani this is the limit that the legislator, the lawgiver, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission for. This is the limit, the full extent to which Allah has allowed a person to eat. Yani that they divide their stomach into three parts. One part for the food, one part for the drink, and one part to remain to enable that person to breathe easily. Then the Shaykh says concerning this particular point, وَبَعْدُ النَّاسِ يَأْخُذُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ آخِرِهِ وَيَقُولُ السُّنَّةَ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ ثُلُثًا لِلْطَعَامُ وَثُلُثًا لِلْشِرَابُ وَثُلُثًا لِلْنَفَسِ وَهَلْ هَذِهِ السُّنَّةِ. Yani, some people take the hadith from the end of it. Yani, skip over the Prophet ﷺ saying that it is sufficient for a human being just to eat a bare minimum, a few mouthfuls of food to keep them alive. They skip past that, he said, and they say that the sunnah is that a person leaves 1/3 for their food, 1/3 for the drink, and 1/3 for breathing. That this is the sunnah. Is this the sunnah, the Shaykh says? As sunnah, luqimat yuqimna as-sulba. Yani, actually the sunnah is that a person eat a small amount. Not that a person eat that which would fill their stomach to 1/3. And drink that which would fill their stomach to 2/3. That's not the sunnah. The sunnah is that a person eats a small amount of food, whatever is sufficient for a person to live and to be able to function. That is actually the sunnah. And then he said, but if a person just refuses, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ وَأَسْرَرْتَ, yani a person refuses and they insist on increasing the amount of food, then we reach the second advice of the Prophet ﷺ that yani the stomach should be divided into three parts, yani 1/3 for the food and 1/3 for the drink and 1/3 for breathing. He said, but some people just skip past the first advice of the Prophet ﷺ, yani, which is to eat a little bit of food. And they say that the sunnah is yani eating yani the amount of food that will fill your stomach to 1/3 and drink that fills it to a 2/3. We say, la. The sunnah is not this dividing the stomach into 3/3. Rather, that is for the one who insists on eating more. But the real sunnah, yani the first advice of the Prophet ﷺ, is that a human being suffice with eating small portions of food that will be sufficient for them to go on with life. Then the Shaykh says, and I'm reminding myself that we still have some benefits to read from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. Shaykh Abdul Rahman goes on saying, وَهَذَا الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي ينصح به الأطباء. Yani this which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is advising us with, yani that which he has mentioned here in this hadith, is that which the doctors also advise people with. And that is that a human being should not fill their stomach with food. He said, and that a person gets up from eating while they still have a desire to eat some more food, is better than that the person gets up from eating and they hate that they have overeaten and filled themselves. And then he says, وَالصِّحَّةَ كل صحة في توجيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, يعني good health, in reality, it is contained in the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the Sheikh goes on to make a final point. Before we make the final point, I just want to go back and go back to the point where he says, that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned here, it is that which the doctors advise with. It is that which doctors advise with. And here I'm just going to quote, yani I was quoting actually from Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, in his explanation of his father's book. He quoted from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in his explanation of the 50 hadith, and he said that some of the scholars say concerning this hadith, huwa aslun jami'un li usul at-tibb kulliha. Yani that this advice from the Prophet ﷺ contained in this hadith is a comprehensive foundation or fundamental from the fundamentals of tib, of medicine. Yani one of the comprehensive fundamental principles of medicine, of good health. And so that a person can understand this advice from the Prophet ﷺ, or understand this statement from the scholars, that this advice from the Prophet is a fundamental, from the fundamentals of medicine. He said, I'm going to quote here, yani the text of the statement that Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentions concerning this particular affair. And he quotes from a Christian doctor, Tabib Nasrani. Ibn Rajab is quoting from a Christian doctor who he describes as being, yani, an expert in medicine. That when this person heard this hadith, this Christian, when he heard this hadith, and he is an expert in medicine, yani a person who is an expert in the affairs of medicine and in treating sicknesses, لما سمع هذا الحديث ماذا قال؟ قال لو استعمل الناس هذه الكلمات لسلموا من الأمراض والأسقام ولا تعتلت المراشتان. I don't know, this is a strange word here. It means يعني مستشفيات, the hospitals, والدكاكين الصيادلة. يعني this Christian doctor, when he heard this hadith, he said, if the people were to act upon these words from the Prophet ﷺ, they would have been saved from all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And the hospitals would have become inoperative. People wouldn't need hospitals. And the pharmacies also, likewise, people wouldn't have a need for them. Sheikh Abdul Razak, after quoting this from Ibn Rajab, he says, so now if you go to some of the cities, and he's talking about in the Muslim lands, you will find that there are streets in which there are more pharmacies than there are grocery stores. Yani you might go into a street where you find more than one pharmacy and only one grocery store. So the people reach the condition in which their need for medicine due to, yani, what they are eating and the amount that they are eating and the different types of things that they are eating, and as well due to, yani, the things that are in the containers that foods are, yani, packaged in today, due to all of that, the people reached the condition where they were in greater need for medicine than they are in need of food. And this is an indication, the Sheikh says, this is an indication or a clarification of the magnitude of this advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that, yani, as that doctor said, if people were to act upon these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they would have been saved from all kinds of sicknesses, and hospitals and pharmacies, yani people wouldn't need them anymore. After this, the Shaykh mentions one more point, yani that's related to the hadith, yani it's not directly related to the hadith but indirectly related to the hadith. He says that this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the advice for good health. He said, however, we should note that it is confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had once insisted in, yani, he insisted upon Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that he drink more milk when he had offered him some milk to drink. He insisted that he drink more milk. He said, ishrab, thumma ishrab, thumma ishrab, hatta qala fil akhir, walladhi ba'athaka bilhaq nabiyyan la ajidu lahu masadan aw maslakan. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu to drink and drink and drink until Abu Hurairah said, "I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth as a prophet, I don't find any place to drink anymore. There's no space. Yani there's no room for me to drink anymore." The Shaykh says, فَهَذِهِ قَضِيَّةُ الْعَيْنِ وَحَادِثَةُ الْعَيْنِ. Yani this is an individual incident that happened on one occasion, and it should not be taken yani to be general for everyone. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ had guided or instructed Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu to drink and to keep drinking like this because he was extremely hungry. And therefore, filling oneself sometimes in that kind of situation, لا بأس فيه, there's no harm in doing so. This is what is indicated in this hadith. So the hadith under discussion tonight, yani indicates a qaida amma allati yanbaghi an nasluqaha. Yani this is a general principle that we should act upon. And the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu indicates that in certain situations or circumstances, there's no harm in filling a person, in filling their stomach, especially if they're filling their stomach with something to drink. Because the affair of the drink is different than the affair of food, which requires a lot of work and some difficulty in digesting. Then the Shaykh, he closes this point, and then we'll go to the benefits that Shaykh Abdul Muslim mentions. He said, فالحاصل أن ما آشر إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غاية التوجيه وهو حفاظ الصحة فاستعينوا بالله عز وجل على تنفيذه استعينوا بالله ولا تعجزوا. يعني he said, so in summary, يعني the bottom line, the end of the matter is that what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has directed us to, guided us to here, is the height of yani right guidance. And that is in order to protect and to preserve one's health. He said, therefore, seek help from Allah Azza wa Jalla to act upon it, to execute it. Yani, seek help from Allah and do not feel incapable, unable, like it can't be done. And here the Shaykh is referring to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله ولا تعجز. استعين بالله يعني احرص على ما ينفعك, يعني be eager, be diligent in going after that which will benefit you. If we know that a person who eats less, that this is actually going to benefit them yani in terms of their physical health. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions in his explanation of this hadith that the benefits are not limited to physical health. Rather, there are benefits to a person's mind, to their intellect, to the clarity of their ability to think and focus. And there are benefits to the person's soul. Yani that eating less enables a person's soul, yani to surrender and to submit and to be at ease and to be calm and to be tranquil. So the benefits of this advice from the Prophet ﷺ is not limited to physical benefits to one's health. Rather, there are spiritual and mental benefits yani that also a person will attain by following this guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Whoever sees that there is benefit in this, the Shaykh is saying, as I mentioned in the beginning, if we find this a challenge, استعين بالله يعني احرص على ما ينفعك, be diligent and eager in seeking that which benefits you, واستعين بالله, and seek help from Allah, ولا تعجز, and don't feel helpless, don't feel hopeless, don't feel that we don't have the ability to do it, because it is easy for whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for. And the closer a person is to Allah, and the more obedient they are to Allah, and the greater their desire to please Allah, yani, it is Allah can make it easy if He wills. Allah can make it easy if He wills. In closing, the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned from this hadith are four. And this is the fourth point from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad. He says, مِمَّا يَسْتَفِيدُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ إِسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, that which may, benefits that may be derived from this hadith. Number one, بيان الأدب الشرعي الذي ينبغي أن يكون عليه الآكل في مقدار أكله. Yani clarification of the adab, الشرعي يعني the legal legislative manners يعني the Islamic manners which is incumbent upon the person when they are eating to observe in terms of the amount of food that they eat. Yani, this is a clarification of the Islamic manners, etiquette, that one who is eating, yani, it is incumbent upon them to observe it in terms of the amount of food that they eat. And here I want to remind us again here, from the adab al-shara'iyya, in terms of eating, there are many authentic hadith that came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I read this point, it reminded me of some notes that I made about 10 or 15 years ago, and I went back into my books and I found this old notebook here, that is very old. And in this notebook, I had written, yani, on the occasion of a class that we had maybe 15 years ago, some notes about some of the adab related to eating. And I noted there, yani, 12 hadith, or something like 10 or 12 hadith, all of them containing manners or etiquettes that one should observe when eating. So I just want to quickly mention them, not to take time, but from amongst the adab of eating that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, three of them came in one hadith, which is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكْ. Yani, mention the name of Allah. And eat with your right hand, and eat from that which is near you. These are three of the adab that a person should observe in eating. That a person should mention the name of Allah. Yani, say, Bismillah. Not Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Say, Bismillah. That's what's legislated in the Sunnah. When a person eats, they should say Bismillah. The second thing he said, eat with your right hand. A person shouldn't be eating with both hands. They should be eating with their right hand. This is legislated in the Sunnah. And eating from that which is near you. And if the people are eating in a group, then nobody should be reaching over to the other side where other people are eating from. Rather, a person should eat from that which is near them. From other hadith, we also know that the Prophet ﷺ said that the barakah descends upon the food to the center of the platter. Therefore, he said, eat from its sides, from the edges of the food. This is also from the adab, yani, of eating. That a person should eat from the edges of the platter or the plate or wherever they're eating from, and not from the center. Also, from the etiquettes of eating is that if a person forgot to say Bismillah when they began to eat, if they remember, they should say Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Or in some of the narrations, Bismillah fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. Yani, that if a person remembered while they're eating that they had forgot to say Bismillah, then they should say this statement, yani, Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu, or fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. Yani, meaning that in the name of Allah, from the, yani, beginning until the end. And also from the adab of eating that has confirmed in authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when a person finished eating, they should supplicate with the like of the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Alhamdulillah alladhi أطعمني هذا ورزقني من غير حول مني ولا قوة. And the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever says this praises Allah for feeding them and providing for them, then their previous sins will be forgiven. And from the adab of eating that's confirmed in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that a person, if they dropped something from what they were eating, they should pick it up and brush off whatever attached itself to it from where they dropped it, and they should eat it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani, and not to leave anything for shaitan. And also from the adab of eating that's confirmed in the Sunnah is that the Prophet ﷺ said when a person is finished eating, they should lick their fingers or have their fingers licked. Yani, they should lick their fingers themselves before they wash their hands. Or have, yani, their family lick their fingers. And this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another authentic Sunnah, and I remember about 30 or 40 years ago, in a public gathering in a masjid, a brother practiced this Sunnah and everybody was looking at him. Just imagine what he did. When he finished eating, he picked up his plate and he licked it. And this is from the Sunnah. I need to not leave anything on that plate. And so these are some of the Sunnahs that immediately come to my mind. And I didn't want to open the book because I was afraid I might start reading the hadith and it's going to take a lot of time. So that's what I can remember from those Sunnahs. And there are other Sunnahs, of course, no doubt about it. These are some that come to my mind at this moment. And it is incumbent upon us, yani, that when we know that this is from the Sunnah, that we practice it. At home and outside of the home, in public and in private. And we shouldn't really be concerned about non-Muslims. Forget about Muslims. We shouldn't be concerned about non-Muslims that they look at us if we're eating with our hand or we're licking our fingers. Yani, this is from the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is better than what they are doing. From the remaining points that the Shaykh mentions from this hadith, number two, he says, At-tahadhir min mala'i al-batn. Yani, that in this hadith, and the first statement of this hadith, is there's a warning from a person filling their stomach, لِمَا يَجْلِبُهُ مِنَ الْأَمْرَادِ وَالْكَسَلِ وَالْخُمُولِ. Yani, because of what it brings about. Yani, filling the stomach brings about sicknesses, and illnesses, and laziness, and sluggishness. And I think most of us must have experienced this. For me, if I eat breakfast in the morning, the rest of the day I'm sluggish. And eating definitely affects your body. And some people it's going to affect more than others. The less you eat, the more eating is going to affect you. The more your body gets used to not eating a lot of food, the more you're going to be affected when you eat more. So this will enable you to eat less and continue to eat less, and it becomes easy. It becomes easy. It's not a tremendous matter. It's easy for whoever Allah makes it easy. The third point. And al-kifaya tahsul bima yakunu bihi biqa al-hayat. Yani, that what is sufficient is achieved by whatever is necessary in order for you to stay alive. Yani, the minimum amount that a person can eat in order to continue to function normally, to do what they have to do in the course of a day, then that's what's sufficient. And not just overeating just because it's there, just because it's available. One of the people from the Salaf, he said, that I leave some food from my meal, that I leave it and don't eat it, is better to me, yani, than that I eat it. And because I left it, I will get up in the night and I will pray and perform worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, that I leave that food and be able to get up in the night is better than I had eaten it. Because eating that food is definitely going to affect the person. The fourth point and the final point the Shaykh makes, أَنَّهُ إِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ يعني لَا مَحَالَ لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الزِّيَادَةِ عَلَى الْكِفَايَةِ فَلْيَكُنْ فِي حُدُودِ ثُلُثَي الْبَطْنِ. Yani, if it is that of necessity that a person must have an increase, they must eat more than what is the bare minimum that's sufficient. If a person just must eat more, then let it be, then it must be within the boundaries, within the limits of 2/3 of their stomach. And this is the end of what we wanted to present tonight. And again, as I said in the beginning, this is a challenge. Let us take up the challenge and remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who guided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this advice for us, and he has left for us an example, and that example is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah told us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah the most excellent example, the model for you to follow if you believe in Allah in the last day and remember Allah much. So he's our model, he's our example. And if we read, Ibn Rajab mentions in his explanation of this hadith, several hadith, lots of hadith concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how many days went by he didn't eat cooked food, how many days went by he didn't have bread to eat, how many days went by, and so on, that he didn't have much to eat. And the example of his companions, and Ibn Rajab mentions, yani Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he used to eat very little, and he said, it wasn't because I didn't have food to eat. It was because of the example that was set before us. Yani, that this is a way yani, of a person improving their health, protecting and maintaining their health, and also the other benefits mentally and spiritually. And the people from the Salaf, yani, there are lots of quotations, yani, 6 pages, Ibn Rajab. This afternoon I was reading it, and it was just so much that, yani, I felt like it doesn't make sense for me now to try to read from it because it's too much. But whoever goes back and looks at what Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and from the Salaf, they will see that this was the way of the people, yani, of the Sunnah, that they used to eat little. They believed, yani, that eating little was better, and they were better than us because of that. So if a person wants to be better, one of the ways to be better, to be nearer to Allah, to be closer to Allah, yani, is that a person follows this advice of our Prophet ﷺ, this example of our Prophet ﷺ, and the example of the companions and the second generation and the third generation and the people who followed in their ways. If there's any comment or any question or correction, yani, we'll take just a moment if there's any questions or any corrections. Or maybe we'll just take any corrections and we'll stop here and have our refreshments. Naam. Tayyib. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. So whoever doesn't have to leave, inshallah, we're going to stay just for any few minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, and have some refreshments together. And if there's any, yani, further benefits that we can share with each other, or any questions, inshallah, we'll take it then.